And welcome to another episode of And welcome to another episode of the 700 Level Radio. I'm Kyle Lutz, your host. Joining me is my co-host Josh Leiter and John Nenemuth will be joining us a little bit later. Thanks for joining me, Josh.
Always a pleasure.
So we'll be getting into the Spygate, Deflategate scandal, and numerous other NFL offseason news. So we'll start with that. Obviously, this past AFC Championship game on January 18th in Foxborough, the Pats beat the Colts 45-7. And numerous people had deduced that the balls were underinflated and the referees needed to be checked. There's just been a whole lot of chaos. 5 days ago, Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games of the season. The Patriots as a whole were fined $1 million, which really is nothing to a team that's worth billions. Robert Kraft, the owner, is a billionaire, and they'll forfeit their 2016 first-round pick and their 2017 fourth-round pick. Yeah, and their 2017 fourth-round pick. You said that the suspension should have been longer. Do you think the suspension should have been a year-long suspension or just longer than four games?
I was thinking 6 to 8.
6 to 8?
6 to 8, yeah. Because, I mean, I wasn't expecting a year. I doubted that was going to happen. So at that point, Brady would have took it to court. But I could definitely see longer than four. Four seems a little short for a suspension like this. The NFL does have kind of a precedent for this sort of thing.
Yeah. I think he I think what he did, four just seems, I don't know, I think they'll kind of meet in the middle. Speaking of that, their first four opponents saying, assuming that the suspension remains and is still a four-game suspension, they play at home versus Pittsburgh, which is the Thursday night kickoff game, to start the year, then at Buffalo, and then versus Jacksonville. They have a bye week for week four, and then that fourth game would be at Dallas at AT&T Stadium. So be interesting to see. Buffalo's got a really good defensive line, so they could get some good pressure on, you know, on whoever their quarterback is, if it's Garoppolo or Brady. Steelers don't really have a good defense anymore. Their secondaries pretty much doesn't really have any household names, especially with Polamalu gone now. And Buffalo has an okay secondary, but they're basically known for their defensive line. Jacksonville's poor, and the Cowboys are a good team, but and they're not really they're not really good on the defensive line.
Oh.
So you think they should have given up more draft picks, or do you think it was fair to give up two draft picks? Because a lot of times you'll see teams given up like three or four draft picks for this. You think it was more about the suspension? Because I think it should have been like maybe like six or seven games, like you said, and then maybe like a few draft picks. I think it would have been a couple first round picks too.
Seems reasonable. The Patriots lost two draft picks for Spygate as well, albeit they lost more extreme draft picks this time around. What was the other thing? And then for when the Saints got caught for the bounty scandal, they also lost two draft picks. So the two draft picks seems reasonable, actually. But it's the suspension on Brady that I'm surprised is so light. That one in particular, because they seem very, very convinced that he was heavily involved.
Yeah.
The actual cause of it all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so the league wants to kind of, you know, set a precedent. So we have, I believe, John on with us.
Yeah, I made it.
Yeah, John, thanks for coming on. Yeah, so we were just talking about the whether or not Brady's suspension will hold and the punishment. Do you think it should be longer than four games? Josh was saying like 6 to 8, and I have to agree with him with what his suspension should be. If it were up to you, how many games would you suspend him, or if at all?
Well, since he's already been punished for four games, almost essentially losing the first month, if he appeals it, I would knock him down to, I'd knock it down to two.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I get that he's Goodell's cash cow, so, yeah, I think he draws all that revenue, so, you know, people have been suspended before, you know, even the better ones. I remember Roethlisberger was suspended first four games. He went on to appear in the Super Bowl that year. And that was for worse than anything Brady did. But I think maybe they should start saying, you know, just because you're New England doesn't mean you get away with everything. So let the punishment fit the crime somehow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of it's going to be the draft pick. As far as draft picks go, losing that first rounder is worse than anything they're used to doing. That was a brutal one.
Yeah, year's one, right?
And who are they starting at running back these days over in New England? Now that Shane Vereen's a Giant.
I'll have to take a look at that. I'll look into that.
Guy I buy the tickets from said, never trust Belichick with a running back.
Right?
Pretty much. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Joining Brady's high-profile agent, Don Yee, for the appeal of his four-game suspension will be Jeffrey Kessler, who's a noted labor attorney, who also recently represented Adrian Peterson for obviously what he went through with his legal problems with his son. The legal team assembled by Brady was enough to convince one of Adam Schefter's sources that the suspension will be overturned altogether, but obviously some things have changed in terms of circumstances. Schefter was saying that Brady's legal team was unreal and talented, big-name lawyers. So it would be interesting. Obviously not the first superstar.
I was saying if this was being handled in the court of law, I'd agree, but this is being handled by Goodell. So.
Yeah, different circumstance. I definitely have to agree. What do you make of the appeal, John? Do you think he has a good chance?
Yeah, because if he's innocent, then why is he, you know, goes to show that he's going through all this trouble. If he had something to do with it, then he'd probably say, fine, slap me, slap on the wrist. I'll be back when I can. And people have appealed suspensions for, you know, one game in the middle of the season. So, like I said, I'm sure it can be reduced to something.
Yeah, Peterson's indefinite suspension from the league was overturned in February, as was Ray Rice's last November, as was Indominican Sue's one-game suspension for stepping on Aaron Rodgers, allowing him to play against
the
Cowboys.
Who was the guy with the Steelers who did it?
A guy against the Steelers who did it?
It was either the Ravens or Steelers that they had it. They had a mid-season suspension that was reduced to a fine.
Big high-profile defensive lineman.
I know you're talking about, but...
Yeah.
But
I don't think it was Nada.
No, it
but
was...
But there's been instances where guys were suspended or at least were, looked like to be suspended and it was either changed or overturned. So Brady does have a chance, but Josh, like you said, the fact that this obviously is handled by the commissioner, plays a big part in it. Now getting on to Belichick, he said he has no explanation for what happened, was shocked to learn of the balls being deflated, and has learned a lot the past few days. This was in the last few days. He's learned a lot the past few days than he's ever learned, if anything, of what's happened. He said he had no prior knowledge of the game. Do you believe him?
Actually, yes, because the only people that the ball is going to really deal with when it comes to the ball being inflated, deflated, are going to be the equipment managers and the quarterback. The coach and the GM aren't even going to really see it. That's not their job. So I could believe that.
Yeah. How about you, John?
Yeah, I don't think this was a shaky tactic by Belichick. If anything, maybe, you know, they say Tom, you know, Brady talking to the referees, whether that was legal or not, you would think he would talk to the equipment managers, like, yeah, I want this much air in the ball, that'll give me an easier grip on it or whatnot. But
if
not him, why not everybody?
Yeah, I think I think it's interesting. So,
and you heard Kaepernick. He said, no football in the world is going to help you win by 38 points.
Yeah, but they, you know, a lot of times guys were saying that they like certain pressure on the ball. Like a lot of people were saying
Aaron Rodgers cracked me up with that.
Yeah, he likes to be overinflated.
Yeah.
So, but it just seems to be
doesn't help at all.
Yeah, it just seems to be a consistent thing with the Patriots where they try to get the upper edge. I agree with you guys that although I dislike Belichick, I agree that he didn't have any prior knowledge of this and wasn't in on it. Current CBS broadcaster and former NFL quarterback Chris Sims said recently that Brady tarnished Belichick's name and that he didn't deserve this past year's Super Bowl MVP award. To quote him, he said, "This is cheating, flat out. Cheating in the NFL. No quarterbacks take out less air than what is mandated by the NFL. I've never heard of anybody doing it, plain and simple. I put it up there with PEDs, obviously performing enhancing drugs, corking your bat, and or anything else than that." So it's pretty good thing to say. But it's a hot debate. And I don't know. It just seems like you know, everybody has their own story. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens. But and him and Ted Wells, the guy who conducted the report, him and Brady have been kind of going back and forth. Brady was trying to strip Goodell from the appeal, and trying to go back and forth with Wells. So, be interesting to see what happens. So,
I think the Belichick's way of having the upper edge all these years, some of it are things that really hasn't been made into such a scandal, if you will. Like this, they don't shovel their snow. They most teams do, but they practice how to play in it.
I mean,
and
that's
no
not
one's ever
to take advantage of the climate. No, because I mean, look at in our own backyard, the Giants. Their stadium, they are the coldest non-dome stadium there pretty much is, and they refuse to dome it on the basis that they take advantage of the cold.
Colder than Green Bay at Lambeau?
Lambeau. Then there's Lambeau as well. But, yeah, I mean, every stadium handles weather conditions differently. Chicago, look at their field. Dear God, it's not an advantage to anybody. But it's every field does things a little bit differently to try to gain that little bit of edge. Seahawks stadium, they do things with the sound quality. They do things with the sound.
Yeah, and it's outside, too.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of interesting tactics going on in individual home stadiums. It's just a matter of where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing with Deflategate, the Patriots were claiming a few days ago that the term deflator was used in reference to Jim McNally, who was in their organization. The term was related to him losing weight, not deflating footballs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now they're kind of going against Ted Wells and his report. So, and obviously the Patriots fans, some of them have created a petition to kind of pay the fine. So it's kind of played out quite interestingly. So it's interesting to see what happens. Josh, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'd really love to have seen those text messages.
I know.
That's the goal of it all at this point.
It's been very interesting. And
as far as Brady getting suspended, refresh my memory, but wasn't most of his suspension for refusal to cooperate with the investigation? He didn't hand over his phone?
I believe so,
not
yeah.
Cooperating? I believe, not cooperating, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I believe it was.
That's
yeah.
what he got hit for, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
really
I remember being something towards that as well. Yeah, so they fail to comply a lot of times, and they're not easy to deal with. So, and you know, you can't blame them for hiring a top tier, you know, attorney and a whole legal team, especially if he did it, which a lot of us know that he had something to do with it. So, we'll see what Goodell has to say about it. You know, obviously, if only him and the equipment guys can know, there's really only a couple of people that can know this. So, I wanted to get your take on a couple of Giants things real quick. Josh, Tom Coughlin, the Giants coach, was extended. Now he's signed through this upcoming season through $7 million, but he was extended through the 2016 season for another $7 million. And by the time this season comes around, he'll be 69. And obviously after his contract ends, assuming he doesn't extend his contract even more, he'll be 70. What do you see Tom Coughlin's future with the Giants? Did you like the move? Him being re-signed.
Yes.
I know it's only one more year, but did you like the move for him staying on for another year just because the last couple of years, I know injuries have played a part, so, you know, they haven't exactly done
and
well.
And here's the other thing. John.
Yeah.
Let's refresh our memories a bit. What happened to Jacksonville after Coughlin left?
Oh, they went down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
actually read
that
article. It was some of the worst ever off-season moves in league history, and one of them was when Jacksonville got rid of Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin, yep. That's why I'm looking at this move, and I'm like, yeah, let that man retire, Giant.
Yeah, he actually took Jacksonville the championship game in his second year coaching there. And obviously, the last couple of years there, they haven't had a winning year, but they're developing some talent. They're getting healthy. Obviously, he's about to be 70, so you're not worried about his age or his contract, Josh, despite his legacy?
A lot of it is that We've had injuries last year. We had a lot of problems on the defense with Perry Fuel, and that he's got, I have a feeling things are going to go a little nicer.
Now they got Spagnuolo back.
Spagnuolo back will help a lot. And really, we've had a lot of problems with receivers dropping balls, things like that. And I mean, there's not much you can really do about that. It's the players who play. So Coughlin's done a good job of rallying players around injuries and et cetera and making something out of nothing. So, in a lot of ways. So,
well,
absolutely, he should retire, Giants.
Oh, yeah. And definitely, obviously, the addition of Victor Cruz, him coming back, would definitely help. And that leads me to my next topic real quick. Actually,
I was just going to say, though, about with Coughlin, I was reading something yesterday. You talk about guys in the twilight of their careers and whatnot, especially with the Giants. I was reading something that was records that are unlikely to be broken. It was because they were talking about for Emmitt Smith's birthday, how he has he's the all-time leading rusher. Saying that some records that stand right now, like Brett Favre's record for consecutive starts. A pathetic 290-something, yeah, not quite 300, right? It said, and you know who has the current, the active streak for consecutive starts, don't you?
Yep.
And,
the active streak is Eli Manning.
In order for Eli to break Brett Favre's record, he would have to play without any injuries, without missing any games until he's 43.
Which is astonishing.
Yeah, it would be 9 more years.
Yeah, so it should be pretty interesting. So, speaking of the Giants, Odell Beckham Jr. made the this year's cover of the Madden NFL 16.
Yeah, it was between him and Gronk. I watched that. See those two together.
Yeah. I think he's the first Giant to do it, I believe. Am I right, Josh?
I'll
have to look
Peyton
at
Hillis?
It. But... No, Peyton Hillis wasn't on the Giants, was he? Not when he was on the cover.
No, Peyton Hillis, not when he was a Giant. He did that before that.
But anyways, I wanted to get to Odell Beckham. Just the strength of him, the reach, the guy can do it all. He's been shown amazing strides, and obviously we saw the incredible catch he made this year versus the Cowboys and Brandon Carr. And he's not even going to be making $1 million this year. He's set to make just under $900,000, and in a few years after he finishes his rookie year and club option, I'm sure the Giants will throw a fine offer his way.
I'm sure he'll get Des Bryant money. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. That's
what
absolutely.
What kind of money?
Des Bryant.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that was. Yeah. I didn't understand his contract that he got, why it wasn't huge. It seemed a little. Were they trying to save money elsewhere by doing that?
Which one? Beckham?
No, Bryant.
They need a running. Well, the thing is, they're trying to shift money around elsewhere because they got to pay a lot of people over there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of contract trouble in Dallas right now.
Yeah, and speaking of money, there was a report that the Seahawks are unwilling to give Russell Wilson a $20 million-plus deal. Bleacher Report's Jason Cole reports it's highly unlikely the Seahawks will extend Russell Wilson's deal this year. He's said to be seeking in excess of $20 million annually on a 5-year extension. Per Cole, the Seahawks have no desire to get anywhere close to that. I have
they
heard
want to
this
pay
before.
Him like Kaepernick. Yeah.
That's what
they
I
want,
said. He said he's going to see how much money Kaepernick can
make. They want
to Kaepernick
pay him more in the Kaepernick ballpark.
Yeah.
Are they waiting for Kaepernick's salary to go down?
I'll have to look at Kaepernick's salary. But
they're looking at paying him around a Kaepernick or like an Andy Dalton level salary. Andy Dalton's probably a better example.
Dalton,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would say they kind of have to bridge the gap a little. $20 million might be too much, although Russell Wilson is amazing and Incredibly talented.
I got to say, a lot more people than Russell Wilson over there. So, I mean, I don't think you can afford him anyway at that price.
Obviously,
I guess he'd have to be the number one paid offensive player eventually. Probably they would have to pay him more than Graham, right?
I think you pay Graham more than him, but that's me. Remember who you have as your running back over there. I think you pay Graham more than you pay Russell Wilson.
Well, I think the Seahawks are, I noticed they use the
old Not for nothing, and even though the Seahawks forgot who they had at running back during the Super Bowl.
What's that?
Even though the Seahawks forgot who they had at running back during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, really. But I was going to say, it seems like they use the old Redskins philosophy of ditching the draft picks for key players. Of course, it didn't really work out with Marvin.
I don't disagree with that move one bit.
It'll give
getting Graham instead of draft picks, it'll give them a lot of reliability.
Mm-hmm. And you heard Esther, that was a year, he had that 1 year where he made a lot of money with the Saints, I guess.
Yeah.
Was he the highest paid at the time? Was that the thing? Wasn't Graham the highest paid tight end in history at the time?
Yeah,
I think so. It was either him or it was, what's his name in San Diego?
Gates.
Yeah, it was him or Gates.
I see Seattle wanting to pay Wilson more in like the 13-14 range. Kaepernick's contract this year, his base contract's $12.4 million. Next year it's $13.9 million, and in 2017, it goes up a little bit. But obviously, sometimes it goes up a little bit based on incentives, and sometimes they want to structure it certain ways. But what they were saying was they want to play out the final year of Wilson's rookie contract, use the franchise tag back-to-back years through the 2017 year, then that would net him around $45 to $48 million. And then they said that the two sides recently, they're about $10 million apart in terms of contract.
This offseason's been notable for players not re-signing. Eli hasn't re-signed. Rivers hasn't re-signed. It's not unusual this offseason for that to happen. Keep an eye on all that. That's interesting.
I thought Rivers did re-sign because there was no trade-up for Mariota, because they were one of the ones that was quite a reach to get him, but it didn't pan out that way, obviously.
What do you think of what the Eagles have done in off-season moves in the draft this year? What do you think of all the moves the Eagles made? I don't know what to make of it yet.
Yeah, it seemed like the rate they were going with all the ducks was that they were going to get, the highest pounded duck, in the game today, in Mariota. But Chip Kelly knew it. He's learned he's seen the mistakes these players have made, or teams have made, like with RG3 being the most recent one for, when you sell the farm for one guy.
Yeah, and I mean, what is with all the with losing McCoy, with losing Naquin, I'm not sure what to make of this. You guys got DeMarco. They got DeMarco Murray. They got Ryan Matthews. I have a good feeling that by week 5 or 6, Ryan Matthews is your starter because Murray can't stay healthy.
I think he can get in good shape. I mean, he had that good year this year, no injuries. If he had something bother him, he'd sit out the rest of the game, but he'd come back the next week. Like, I know
I wonder, though.
Contract year and everything, but the guy's tough.
Yeah. But remember, though,
yeah,
the entire
definitely.
Dallas offensive line made the Pro Bowl. The entire
yeah.
Dallas defensive line. I mean, offensive line.
But
so
yeah,
that could be a factor, too. It's going to be a lot, it's going to be a lot to be seen. I'm excited.
They got a lot of good pieces this offseason so far. You got Murray, who obviously was the rushing champ last year. A good, strong power back in Ryan Matthews.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got a guy that, you know, was excellent corner, especially on man press coverage, although obviously he played across from the best corner in the league. In Richard Sherman, you got that. In Byron Maxwell, you got a decent goal line guy that you could use in Tebow, which they're talking about using like on fourth and ones. They did pretty good in the draft too. Honestly, I'm not concerned with letting go of Jeremy Maclin because the Chiefs overpaid for him. The Eagles made him, I think, a pretty fair offer. And Reed and the Chiefs overpaid for him. And the Eagles' first round pick this year, Nelson Agholor, the USC wide receiver, he has a lot of similarities to Maclin. Really good hands. A lot of speed, really good off the route. So I really like the pick up there by Kelly. Their second round pick, the cornerback Eric Rowe out of Utah. He's really
good. They got a lot of secondary. Like, most of their draft was secondary.
They had the entire division
for running back. Oh, my God. This division for running back is going to be intense. The entire division.
Yeah, you guys got Vereen.
We got Vereen, The Eagles got DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. Dallas got
McFadden.
His name? McFadden.
Dallas
was
the only one without a running back.
And
what?
Morris.
Morris in Washington, yeah. So there's no bad running backs in this division.
Darren McFadden isn't bad, but I would say Dallas is really the only one without a legitimate running back threat.
Wouldn't be so sure. McFadden's had some good years. So hang tight on that one. That could be more where McFadden was than anything else, because McFadden didn't really ever have a quarterback, did he?
No.
Not so much.
So
you never know.
When you're against eight in the box all the time, it's highly possible that that's what did it. I mean, this could be a good year for him. Keep your eyes open.
I don't think Dallas is crazy on that one yet. I don't think they're going to run it as much, though. No, I don't know. I think, maybe he still has something left in the tank, but...
I don't know.
ESPN was saying that there's a 50% chance that the Redskins will extend Alfred Morris. He's been durable and largely productive. I'm interested to see what Morris will do.
And hard to believe Ken Richardson went five rounds before him.
He's been a good two down back with, good grinder. Wasn't really drafted for Washington's current regime, which they drafted Florida running back Matt Jones.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But, yeah, there were some interesting headlines this offseason. I don't know really, interesting what will happen with Trent Cole in Indianapolis. And actually, if Brady were to be suspended the first four games, the fifth game for the Patriots is actually versus the Colts, so it would be a rematch of that championship game, except this time it would be Indianapolis, so that would be pretty interesting.
I'm curious. I feel like we should one day take a look at how many former NFC East players have made their way to Indianapolis at this point. It's a lot.
Yeah.
As of recent, yeah. They keep grabbing from the NFC East. I've noticed that.
The Colts?
Yeah. They had Hicks and Bradshaw. They've been grabbing like crazy.
Yeah. Let's also see who they get. Oh, dear. I say Andre Johnson.
It's going to be wild.
A division rival, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's been, I don't know, some things have been kind of a toss-up, and some things have been kind of interesting. I want to see what happens. I'm hoping Goodell comes down hard on Brady. He's actually friends with the Patriots owner, which isn't a good thing. I don't think commissioners in any sport should be friends with the owner of the team. Should, you know, makes it a personal thing, but hopefully he doesn't let that affect his bias. Doesn't let that affect his decision. I don't think it will. I think, like you were saying, Josh, it'll probably be maybe five, six games. I don't see it being a whole lot more than that, just because, but I do see it being upheld. I doubt it'll be overturned, just because of all the circumstantial evidence and the fact that, you know, what did he have to hide by getting all these lawyers and, you know, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to kind of hear what different analysts were saying, because obviously it wasn't in Goodell's hands at first. He was having guys under him handle it, and then he took it over himself. So I don't know. John, you think it'll be a pretty quick decision?
It never is, it seems. In the off season, it never is.
Yeah, guys seem to think it over more, especially now that the draft's over. You know, all we have to pretty much look forward to is, you know, you got training camp, you got preseason, and in a few months, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Here's a crazy conspiracy. I'm surprised, you know, if the Super Bowl was held in Boston, then you'd expect Brady to be punished later, because it seems like there's always conspiracy to keep the home team out. Like, they came down on the Saints and suspended Sean Payton the year the Super Bowl was in New Orleans.
And they lost two draft picks.
Years after they won it in real time.
Yeah,
that seems a little.
They need to have they need to keep it one way or another. If you're gonna discipline the same guy, discipline all of them for that. It seems like they came down more on Peyton and the Saints than they did for you know, other issues. So it was kind of interesting. Now I want to get to a couple of
team arbitrary.
What's that?
What's that?
I said the decision system does seem a little arbitrary.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So for our last, like, five, 6 minutes, I just want to talk a little about, we'll get into some Eagles and Giants news. Earlier this morning, Eagles outside linebacker and Pro Bowler, who actually was second in sacks last year, in the league in sacks last year, Connor Barwin, said that second-year outside linebacker Marcus Smith has put on 15 pounds this offseason. He said that physically Smith looks different, put on a lot of muscle, and obviously Marcus Smith.
My Facebook feed were NFL Facebook page. I saw that. But, yeah, I heard a while ago he was getting himself in better shape and that he's making Trey Thomas eat his words, that he was built like a – or, I would say, yeah, built like a high school athlete.
Yeah, yeah. He took the off season and did what he needed to do.
Or maybe just as green as one. He's got the size, but still, maybe the speed thing. I mean, the guy's about 6'3".
Yeah, and he lacked the functional strength to compete last season, and he only played in like 60 some snaps, but he needed to put on more weight and strength.
Yeah, and it wasn't even the position that he had ever played in. Well, maybe since he was in high school, he was drafted to be an outside linebacker, played defensive end in college, and they with all the injuries they put him in at inside linebacker.
Yeah, it wasn't his natural position. And Philly Mags Tim McManus, as well this morning, believes that Tim Tebow has a real shot to win the number 3 quarterback job in camp, with G.J. Kinney transitioning away from quarterback. Tebow's competition for the number 3 role will be Mac Barkley, who was the number 3 quarterback last year. Barkley probably is a better overall quarterback than Tebow as far as his arm, many believe, but Tebow would bring more versatility and obviously is faster and does more in terms of his legs and short yardage ability than he does. And
there's been a lot of talk about Tebow getting better. So I'd like to see what happens. I said there's been a lot of talk this offseason about Tebow becoming a better quarterback. So I'd like to see if there's any if it's just talk or if there's any actual substance to that.
Yeah, and
this offseason, there's been a decent amount of talk that Tebow has become a better quarterback from coaches and et cetera. So I'd like to see if there's any substance or whatnot to this talk or if it's just talk.
I don't know. Tebow, it seems like, he gets all these opportunities and, he's always just ends up on the bench. But you're probably going to like this one, Josh. If I told you, whenever I read these mock drafts or the draft do-overs, and they still leave off Victor Cruz, but they're still saying that Tebow was the right move.
Yeah, it's interesting.
How ridiculous is that?
I think it's that the mock drafts don't intend to count undrafted players. They count to just deal with reordering what was already done.
Re-what?
I think that's what they're designed to do. Don't quote me on that.
What's that? Reordering what?
Reordering the draft instead of adding undrafted players into the draft.
No.
Yeah,
I think that's what they actually do.
Yeah, that's what they do. And a couple tidbits for the Giants. Today, ESPN New York considers the Giants corner Tremaine McBride the favorite for the slot duties, with Princeton Mukamara and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie returning on the outside. McBride is competing with Mike Harris and Josh Gordy for the number 3 corner job. McBride missed the majority of 2014 to thumb surgery, but will be healthy for the start of training camp. Tackle Justin Pugh. ESPN New York's Dan Graziano expects him to open the season as the Giants' starting left guard. Coach Tom Coughlin has yet to commit to rookie Eric Flowers at right tackle, but Pugh is fully expected to move inside. So interesting to see what happens. Obviously, there's some concerns about Victor Cruz. Obviously, he is back, but the Giants remain confident that he'll be ready for week 1 after his knee surgery, rehabbing from a torn patellar tendon this past offseason. But I want to thank you guys for joining me, talking about Deflategate, talking about the offseason. We'll probably talk more in the next couple weeks about it. We'll talk more about the draft and, what goes on following Brady's suspension. So, Thank you guys for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us. Have a great night.
You have a great night, guys.